So we're in batch number five now with Liz and Uta. It's Timbo with you, and it's Update Talking News, Stoke local news and features. Doing the final batch of news for you now, although I might do a few more to finish it off. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the headlines up for you first, and Uta's headlines are...
Oh, it's a warning again. Well, this time for cybercrime, because the rates are spiking. And then the good news is that libraries are booked in for a, this time, millions, 5 million refurb.
And Lizzie's headlines are?
People might not be here if we hadn't done this in Dan's memory. And then I'm going to read two short stories together. Post office plans to move into former bank and tribute after dad killed in disturbance.
Okay, so we'll go over to Liz now for the first story.
People might not be here if we hadn't done this in Dan's memory. Dad marks 10th anniversary of son's death. A dad has talked about the life-saving legacy of his wonderful son 10 years to the day after his sudden death. Postman Dan Hughes was aged just 28 when he died in his sleep due to an undiagnosed heart defect. Since then, his determined parents, David and Sue Hughes, have devoted themselves to getting young people in North Staffordshire screened for potential heart defects. They have raised £614,000 for the Cardiac Risk in Young People, that's CRY, charity. This has paid for 5,977 young people to undergo heart screening, with at least two lives being saved as a direct result. David from Bignall End says the build-up to the today's, I'm looking at the date, 19th of March. Oh, sorry, I'm all over the place. Right, the anniversary, the 10th anniversary, is Wednesday the 19th of March. So David from Bignall End says the build-up to the 10th anniversary has been difficult. He said, "It's strange. I know the 10-year anniversary is just another day in March, and it's not any different than any other anniversaries, really. But it has made had a big effect on us, to be honest. It makes you realise that it's been such a long time since we actually last got to speak and interact with him. I can't put my finger on what makes this anniversary stand out, but the build-up has been very difficult. After Dan's death, David and Sue pledged to screen 200 young people for heart defects each year for as long as they could. David said, "We've stuck to that promise for the last 10 years. We're going to keep raising the money and keep that going. We've already got enough funds secured to do screenings for the next 4 years. Hopefully, after our fundraising this year, we can extend that by another year or two. We've put a lot of effort into that behind the scenes, doing fun runs, raffles, charity walks, all those kind of things. And there are lives that have been saved, people who are still walking around today. People who might not have been if we hadn't done this in Dan's memory. That's our biggest achievement, and that's the best legacy Dan can leave. You just never know. Your child can be perfectly normal 1 minute, and the next they're gone. Having a simple 15-minute ECG test can save all that pain, so we're going to continue doing our best to screen as many as we can."
Okay, so over to Uta now for her next story.
Yes, this is the warning as cybercrime rates are spiking again. Social media and email account hacking reports jumped sharply last year, according to Action Fraud data. A total of 35,434 reports were made to the Fraud and Cybercrime Reporting Service in 2024, compared with 22,530 reports made in 2023. Action Fraud has launched a campaign, supported by Meta, to encourage people to take an extra step of online protection by enabling two-step verification for each online account they have. The most common motives for social media hacking were either investment fraud, ticket fraud, or theft of the targeted account, Action Fraud added. Adam Mercer, Deputy Director of Action Fraud, said, As social media and email account hacking remains the most reported cybercrime this year, this action fraud campaign marks a critical issue for everyone who has online accounts. David Arganovic, Security Policy Director of Meta, said scammers are relentless and continuously evolving their tactics to try to evade detection, which is why we are constantly working on new ways to keep people safe while keeping bad actors out. Two-factor authentication, 2FA, is one crucial example of how people can add an extra layer of security to their Meta accounts to help reduce the risk of scammers accessing your accounts. We've also started rolling out facial recognition technology to help people get back into compromised or hacked accounts and are always working on new ways to stay ahead of scammers. Hacking methods highlighted by Action Fraud included fraudsters gaining control of an account and impersonating the legitimate owner to convince other people to reveal authentication codes. Another common fraud happens when account details are gained via phishing scams or data breaches, such as leaked passwords. People often use the same password across their accounts, so a leaked password from one website can leave several online accounts vulnerable to hacking. Over to you, Liz.
Post office plans to move into former bank. A town centre post office is set to relocate. Longton Post Office wants to move into the town's former Barclays Bank on the Strand. The replacement branch would have three counters, be run by the same operator, and continue to open 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday to Friday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. Now the post office is consulting regarding the proposed switch. A post office spokesman said the current operator is looking to relocate the business to these premises, which are currently empty. It would undergo a full refurbishment for a main post office and stationery retail. The main entrance of the proposed premises would have a wide door and steps and grab rails at the entrance. A second entrance is proposed on the side of the premises, featuring a wide automatic door with level access to ensure ease of entry. Upon entering, an internal ramp would provide access to the retail area within the premises, subject to planning permission. Longton Barclays has been shut since August 2022. The current Longton Post Office is within Longton Exchange Shopping Centre. To take part in the consultation, so if anybody wants to object to that or thinks it's good or whatever, call 03452 660115. That's 03452 660115, quoting branch code 016238. That's 016238. So if you've any strong feelings about that, that sounds quite good to me, but I don't live in Longton, so perhaps I'm not qualified to say. And my final story, it's a bit sad, somebody was murdered. Tribute after dad killed in disturbance. Partner wants justice for angel on earth. The devastated partner of a man murdered on a Stoke-on-Trent estate has paid tribute to the father of one. Ivan Takov, at age 38, was pronounced dead at the scene of a disturbance inside a property in Limebrook Place, Trent Vale. The violence erupted on the 10th of March. A 46-year-old man arrested on suspicion of murder has since been detained under the Mental Health Act. Now Christina Ivanov says her heart has been torn to pieces. She said, "Ivan was the most caring and good person I knew. He was a modern knight with an enormous heart, always giving without expecting anything in return. He was an angel on earth. I was devastated by the terrible news. My heart is torn to pieces. He left a wonderful daughter after him who does not deserve to be left without a father. I strongly believe there will be justice for him." And Staffordshire Police are continuing to appeal for witnesses. Call 101 or Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111 if you have any information.
And that's not quite the end for Liz yet, as she'll be doing the answers to her one and only quiz after the final story from Uta.
And the final story is about the libraries, who will have a £5 million refurb. Well, 10 county council-run libraries are in line for refurbishments as part of a £4 million investment by the authority, and community-managed services can each apply for up to £30,000 of improvement. Staffordshire County Council is investing £5 million over the next 5 years to modernise buildings and improve public areas. More than 25 of Staffordshire's 43 libraries are now community-managed services, where day-to-day running is carried out by a community group, while the County Council remains responsible for providing books, other stock and IT services, and paying utility and maintenance costs. The scheme has been hailed for keeping libraries open across the county and providing community meeting space and facilities. At the latest Economy, Infrastructure and Communities Overview and Scrutiny Committee meeting, members were given details of the authority's libraries investment plan. Speaking ahead of the meeting, Councillor Victoria Wilson, Cabinet Member for Communities and Culture, said, "Our 43 libraries are cornerstones of the communities, which is why we have always maintained, invested in and renewed them. Not only are they a place of learning, enjoyment and study, but a place where people can come together to meet or to access other services. We know how much they are valued, so I'm delighted that we are able to invest in all the County Council managed libraries that have not been refurbished in recent years." Libraries and Arts Manager Sue Ball, speaking at the meeting, said funding will be used to modernise County Council libraries that have not had a refit since 2015. During the period of refurbishment, we will offer a temporary library facility so each community has a library offer. There is a £625,377 for our community-managed libraries and an additional £300,000, which will be allocated from the libraries and arts budget to the community-managed libraries. Each community-managed library will be invited to submit an application for spending up to £30,000 on the public-facing areas of their libraries. Committee members praised the improvements made to library services across the county in recent years. But they also questioned the level of support given to the county's 27 community-managed libraries in comparison to the 16 council-run services. Councillor Ross Ward said, "I've got two fantastic community-managed libraries in my division, Warrington and Blythe Bridge, which are amazing places to go to. Warrington feels like it is ready for some capital investment. Can we have some reassurance there is a programme that follows the community-led libraries? Also, with the £30,000 the community-managed libraries can apply for, I presume they are all aware of this and are well educated in how to go about the applications. Is that £30,000 commensurate with a similar level of investment in the county-run libraries, or are they potentially the less well-looked-after members of the library, of the family of the libraries?" Councillor David Smith said, "We do seem to look at community libraries as being second citizen to the mainstream libraries. If you look at what the community libraries are achieving, they're doing everything the main libraries are doing, but in a slightly smaller way. I think we tend to promote our main libraries at the expense of community libraries, and it seems as if there are two levels of libraries which perhaps we ought to overcome." Ms. Ball responded, What we are trying to aim for is to integrate the library offer. We support our community-managed libraries with their book stocks, IT support and with building maintenance work. Strategic Property are keen to carry out any maintenance work, so the investment funding will be used on the public areas of the library. There might be parts of a new roof or heating system or new lighting. We recognise our community-managed libraries and partners we work with to deliver those can access funding that, as a county council, we may not be able to access. We also have a support mechanism around them in terms of staffing, and we encourage them to. Well, to make use of our library, of course, social media and our county newsletter.
Well, that was a bit of a library tongue twister there, the amount of time you had to say libraries. Okay, so we're going to finish off this batch with the answers to Lizzie's one and only quiz. Hooter's not going away completely because she'll be back very shortly with her one and only snippets. So here we go now with the answers to Lizzie's quiz.
Number one, which former Prime Minister was born to Welsh parents in Manchester in 1863? The clue is Welsh parents, even though he was born in Manchester. And the answer is David Lloyd George. Number two, Bastille Day is celebrated on the 14th of which month? It is July the 14th. Number three, which Canadian city is known as Hollywood North because of the number of films shot there?
Vancouver.
Oh, Tim's on fire. Yes, Vancouver. Number four, the word canvas derives from the name of which plant-based drug? Cannabis.
Oh, I thought it might be.
Yeah, oh, he thought it might. Oh, yeah, now I'll give him the answer.
Well,
yeah,
I'm scared to risk it. Off
you
go.
Yeah. Number five, what was introduced in France in 1899 but not in Britain until 1934? Driving test. When was it introduced in Germany, Uta? Oh, and I bet in some countries I've been to, I don't think they've ever had one. Number six, in which country would you find the Eiger, famous amongst climbers for its notorious difficult north face? The north face of the Eiger is
Switzerland.
Number seven, what type of drink is known as Adam's Ale? Water. Number eight, on how many hills was ancient Rome built?
Seven.
Is your microphone working?
Yes, it is on.
Oh, it's all right. If Uta said the answer, I didn't know whether I was meant to repeat it.
Yes, it is
on.
Oh,
yeah, Uta's on. Yeah, she's on fire too. More fire than Tim, because I've only heard Tim answer one. Number nine.
Well, it was a film one. I'm good.
Oh, a film one. Which word beginning with the letter M can be a Portuguese island group, a fortified wine, or a type of cake?
Madeira.
Yep, I don't need to answer these. Number 10. Right, now whose faces? These are my bonusy bonuses. Whose faces are carved into Mount Rushmore, South Dakota? They are four...
Presidents.
Presidents is correct. Now the bonus. Go on then, who are the four?
Oh, I won't know any of these.
Washington, probably.
Washington. George Washington represents the nation's birth. Thomas Jefferson represents the growth. Theodore Roosevelt represents the development of the nation. And Abraham Lincoln for the preservation because of the... Civil War, I think he preserved it. Yeah, very interesting. I thought, what if we put a fifth one up? What would Trump represent? We're not allowed to be political, so I won't say. And my bonus question, Yehudi Menuhin was a famous performer on what instrument?
Violin,
correct. Bonus question, what very famous violinist was a pupil of his? Aston Villa supporter. Nobody knows. Nigel Kennedy. Oh. If you ever look, Nigel Kennedy always performs wearing a Villa scarf.
Oh, right.
It's through his stepfather, because he's got a very London-y accent. But his stepfather came from Solihull and was a Villa supporter. And I'm just totally buzzing about Villa. Only people who know about football will know this. I'm going to see Villa against PSG in a couple of weeks.
Amazing. Well, thank you for that. And if you didn't do too well, then have another go at either Timbo's Trivia or the one and only Liz. One and only Quiz with Liz. I'm not quite with it today. And next time, we're back early in April.